question. If a devotee seeking as initiation is not able to follow the regulative principle of no illicit sex fully, that means no sex apart from procreation within marriage, should such a devotee take initiation or avoid initiation? Answer: this is a personal question that has to be analyzed and applied at an individual level with guidance of one's own counselors or other spiritual guides, and based on one's own understanding of one's spiritual situation. So I cannot give a specific answer in terms of yes or no, but I can explain broad principles. The principle of no illicit sex, especially when Srila Prabhupada talked about it in the context of initiation, whether it was in initiation lectures or it was in letters which he sent while giving initiation to devotees, at those times he primarily talked about it in terms of no sex outside marriage. And that is the primary thrust of the vow of initiation. Of course, Srila Prabhupada has written in his books that even sex within marriage, which is not for procreation, that is also considered illicit. But at the same time, there is a substantial amount of difference between the two. For example, so we could say that illicit sex outside marriage is illicit sex with a capital I, and illicit sex within marriage is with a small I. The capital I indicate that it is a very serious violation, and it is a violation not just of our devotional vows, it is also a violation of often moral principles and legal principles, and it can also disrupt many lives, many families and many lives by that. So it has far graver implications. So when Srila Prabhupada was sometimes personally questioned about this, Srila Prabhupada was on one level uncompromising, but at the other level he was understanding. At one time there was a devotee who came to Mayapur, and then in Mayapur that devotee went to some local society girl over there, and when the news spread among the devotee community, they were shocked, and then they told Prabhupada. This was in Prabhupada's times. Then Prabhupada called a devotee and Prabhupada asked him, why did you do that? So Srila Prabhupada, he said, you know, I couldn't control myself, I was too much tormented by lust. And Prabhupada said, but you are married, why did you have to go to a prostitute? He said, no Prabhupada, my wife wanted to follow the principle of no illicit sex, so she refused, and I didn't want to force her. So Prabhupada said that actually that the violation within marriage is extremely minor as compared to what is outside marriage. So Srila Prabhupada that way was quite clear about this. And if you look at the broad Vedic principles, you know, what is the, if you look at Prabhupada's broad context, Prabhupada, then it is not that in every other purport he's harping that there should not be any sex within marriage apart from for procreation. And Srila Prabhupada also has talked about various standards. He said that one can, Prabhupada sometimes quotes from the Manu Samhita standards where one can have sex once a month in the time when the woman is likely to bear a child, so that one can get a child. So, and then there are various things that Srila Prabhupada has talked about. It's not one absolute standard for within marriage. And if you look in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described that because the woman took a part of the karma of Indra, so one of the things that happened is that the woman can enjoy sex life even when they are pregnant, if as long as it is not injurious to the embryo. So that is a facility that is given, but it is not specifically said that that is something which is recommended or glorified. Certainly that is discouraged, but that was something which was given to them. It is not as a blessing, but as a because of a, they took a part of the karma. So if you look at the broad Vedic context, the emphasis of Srila Prabhupada, if you look at his purports, was that actually in the traditional Indian culture, and not just Indian culture, in all cultures, the act of copulation, sexual union, was naturally connected with procreation, with begetting of new children. So it is the artificial separation of the two. That is what Srila Prabhupada is condemning. So actually speaking, when there is the artificial separation of the two, there is contraception or there is abortion. And abortion is nothing but cold-blooded murder of the child, which has serious karmic complications. So actually, if you look at Srila Prabhupada's statements, Srila Prabhupada condemns animal slaughter and abortion far, far more strongly and far, far more repeatedly in his purports than this principle of no illicit sex within marriage. So it is not that the principle of no illicit sex within marriage is meant to make married life a perpetual torture for a person, where a person has to live with the spouse and still restrain one's desires. Actually, in the traditional Indian society, it is not that woman and man would be living in the sleeping on the same bed and living in the same house, living in the same room constantly. Generally, the woman would have the antapura, and the woman would be associating with other women in the family. There would be joint families, and the men would be working with the men and living with the men. And it would not happen that even that the men and women would sleep together every day. So in such a situation, the man and woman, even when they were married, it is not that they would come together regularly. And when they would come together, there would be bodily union. And then after that, there would be begetting of children. So in the traditional Indian society, there was no such thing as abortion. So the important point over here is that at one level, if one becomes unrestrained in sexual life, then one can have the consequences of having to abort a child, which is very, very unfortunately and massively sinful. And of course, another level is that if one gets very caught up in sex, then one just cannot focus on Krishna. And that will certainly be a major distraction in the practice of one's spiritual life. But at the same time, when we are committed to the practice of devotional service, and we are seriously wanting to advance in devotional life, and we are striving towards a standard, so we should make a serious attempt and serious commitment towards attaining that standard. But it is not absolutely essential or mandatory that one be able to follow the principle of no illicit sex within marriage to be able to take initiation. Certainly one should not reject this principle as impractical and become completely unrestrained and not even try for any kind of restraint, saying that this is just impractical. If that is one's attitude, one has no intention of developing restraint and one is not trying for restraint, then certainly one should not take initiation. But if one is seriously determined and one is trying one's best, even if one has not come to that level of self-control, but at least one is surely confident, that completely determined, that one will not break the regulatory principle by seeking illicit sex outside marriage or before marriage, then that is the primary thrust of the vow of initiation. And if one is, it's like in our consciousness, lust basically is like a constant background noise which is there, but occasionally there are peaks of that lust when the desires increase very strongly. But a devotee who is seeking initiation should be able to keep even the peaks within certain limits. That means that as we practice Krishna consciousness more and more, the general level of lust in our consciousness will go down. But even as it is going down by purification, sometimes peaks will come which will suddenly make us feel agitated And at that time also, one has to be determined that one will never go beyond certain limits. So, if one is confident that no matter that love, the lust cup, one is not going to break the regulative principle beyond the sacred bounds of marriage, then that is the essential thrust of the qualification for initiation. And in general, one has to observe the sudden peaks of lust. How frequently do they come, and how often do they force one to engage in illicit sex, even within marriage? And if that is too frequent, that is too irresistible, then one may have to wait for adequate purification. But in general, this need not be taken as an absolute prerequisite for the practice of, for the commitment to initiation. So, in a broad sense, the principle is, the basic emphasis of the principle is that there should not be sex outside marriage, and sex within marriage should not lead to heavily karmic complications like abortion. So, for that purpose, the best way to do is to avoid sex which is not meant for procreation. And one should at least be strongly determined to go towards that. And if one is not determined to do that, and one is not able to move towards that goal also, then certainly one may have to think again about initiation. But if one is seriously trying for that, and one is gradually progressing towards that goal, but one may not be fully confident about being of sticking to that level, but if one is fully confident that one will never let the peaks of lust make one go into illicit sex outside marriage, then one can go in for initiation also. But the essential, the ultimate decision should be taken by considering, by discussing with one's specific spiritual guides, and by looking at one's own consciousness. And this answer will be a broad guideline. It is not a specific answer for this question. Thank you.